Welcome everyone to episode one, which is actually the second episode of the Jackson Warfield Final Gaming Podcast. I'm Jackson Warfield of Jackson's Warfield on YouTube and in various other places. I'm joined by Final Gaming. Final, how are you doing?
Good. Hey everyone. I'm Final Gaming from also every social media.
Yeah. Fun fact, Final Gaming, your name used to be pronounced Gaming, right? But you changed the pronunciation to Gaming just to fit your brand.
That's a secret. You're not supposed to let anyone know yet.
Yeah, you're right.
You're supposed to drip feed the lore.
Yeah. Well, it's like how some people get this reference. Joe Theismann, the quarterback, was Joe Theismann, and he changed the name to Joe Theismann to increase his chances of winning the Heisman. So I'm assuming it was just like that.
Nice.
All right, so we're going to go through a couple things today. We're going to talk about the board game hotness. We're going to talk about trading card game news. Believe it or not, this is not an investor podcast because they're probably talking about trading card games on investing podcasts these days. We're going to take a bit of a deeper dive on the convention calendar and talk about things we've painted and played recently. But first, we're going to dig into miniatures news, especially Warhammer news.
Ooh, okay, so this is let me go through the preview orders first. So we don't have any 40K or Age of Sigmar pre-orders for next week, which is nice for my wallet. But they did announce some Horus Heresy, Warhammer 30K pre-orders. And the big one is the plastic Fellblade super heavy battle tank. That's like the twin cannon, tank, I guess, from the Saturnine trailer that we saw a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks just like the resin one. Looks pretty cool. I don't know. I want to grab one, but I'm also at the point where I have way too many tanks just sitting there in my backlog. And it's quite a time investment to paint one of these. So I don't know. Not I want it, but
the 30K tanks, they always seem to be like a little bit more ornate than the 40K tanks, don't they? They almost seem like they're the same thing, but just with a few more options put on it. Or I don't know if I'm off on that, but
no, you're right.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I have a Bane Blade that I got for Christmas, and here we are mid-September, and I still haven't painted it up yet.
I could see doing more of the 30K tanks, though, if you use them in place of 40K. To me, I guess it would just depend on how many you have backed up. Although, to be fair, I also don't have... I'm not invested in any major tank factions. Like, Thousand Suns don't really have... that's not really a tank faction. That's the closest I get because they have the Chaos Rhinos, I guess.
Well, it sounds like you have a gap in your collection, then. You gotta fill in.
Yeah. Uh-oh. All right, I guess Salamanders and Space Wolves might be coming off the shelf soon.
But yeah. Besides the Fellblade, we got the Mark II Assault Squad, some Horus Heresy Jump Pack guys. I don't know how I feel about them. I'm used to jump packs and all that from Space Marine and the actual miniatures, Space Marine miniatures. And these guys just have like giant turbine engines on the back of them. And it's kind of, I don't know how I feel about that.
How do you like the fact that they're not hovering?
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for ruining the models. I just realized that. That's not great.
They don't really feel like a jump pack squad if they're just kind of standing there. It looks like it could be like they can go underwater with these or something.
Yeah, they do probably lean into the more underwater. I don't know if they can actually do that or not, but yeah. I'm not feeling these guys. I'm not feeling them too well.
Yeah, something about it is just this. I agree with you, though. I think this scale is just a little off on the jump packs, and they're just angled at a weird way.
Right.
Looks like it's more just to run faster.
Yeah, I don't know. If I can't think of a price point that I'd want them, I'd rather have jump pack intercessors, and that's kind of blasphemy if you've seen those guys.
That's interesting. I can understand that. All right. So any more? Any other lukewarm 30K pre-orders?
Yeah, they're adding, I guess, their version of Combat Patrol. So they're called Combat Forces, which is a very creative name. And we've got three going on pre-order, one for the Astartes, the Mechanicum, and the Solar Auxilia. And I don't know, it's cool if you're trying to get into the Combat Patrol size game of Horus Heresy. But every time I think of Horus Heresy, I'm thinking like these huge battles with dozens of units. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was always under the impression that, especially because of the size of the starter boxes, that and the fact that you could buy like the initial launch box and put both factions together into one army, that it was always meant to be a 3,000 point army. People that have been playing Warhammer since 7th edition, because they're going back to old rules, and you just have these huge armies you roll out with. And I don't know why they would need Combat Force with there. Maybe they're just testing it out.
Yeah, that's true. Or they're trying to, maybe they're trying to get the old units back in rotation. But I don't know. Every video, every game, every trailer, everything, it's always these huge planet-wide battles, and then now you're looking at a couple of squads fighting each other. It is a little off. The Horus Heresy pre-orders this week are kind of off for me.
Yeah. What else have we got for pre-orders?
Well, this might interest you, but we have some Middle Earth Strategy Battle Game, which I'll never get used to saying that name, but we got some pre-orders for that. We're finally getting a plastic Helm Hammerhand.
Yeah, and he's the guy from the new anime movie, or I guess it's, I don't know, it's technically an anime movie, but it's an animated movie, and it's not new anymore. I still haven't watched it. I just haven't seen good enough reviews for it, but my Lord of the Rings stuff, part of the reason why I haven't painted as much as I wanted it is because Lord of the Rings, or Middle Earth, I would want to paint to actually reflect the movie, so I'd be basically copying box art on everything. So it's a little bit more daunting to get it done. It's also a lot of small figures, too, but I like the Helm Hammerhand figure, at least. That armor is kind of cool, even though I'm getting a little bit of flashbacks, you know, PTSD flashbacks for Chaos Trim.
Yeah, there's a lot of trim, but he's a lot more innate than the resin one they had a couple months ago. It's probably a year ago now. The one where he's just punching stuff and covered in all white. This one is a lot more detailed. So if anything, I don't know. I keep saying I want to get it, but I haven't painted any of my Middle Earth guys yet either.
Yeah, we'll have to just decide one day here. Be like, okay, we're just going to, we're both, we have 12 hours to disappear and paint as much as possible.
But then we also have the Heroes of Rohan, and I cannot pronounce any of their names. I'll need your help with that one. But we've got three mounted and three foot versions. Also plastic, which is nice.
That's the Middle Earth thing, is they have the mounted and foot versions. It's not, you don't have to buy them separately to kind of give them together, which is kind of nice.
You want to give the names a try?
Yeah, so I think it's Freyolf Hildison. I'm assuming that was just from the movie. Olwyn in Leaf. I think it's Life. It might be Life. And then Heroes of Rohan. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to give it a try. They do look pretty cool. I don't know. They're not totally ornate like Mr. Hammerhand, but I don't think they're supposed to be. A lot of the heroes I've seen are kind of regular Joes that get a horse.
I wouldn't be looking forward to painting that white in there. That's got to be a challenge, that white uniform on. I actually don't know which character that is, but the guy in front here, I'll put the image up for those who want the video feed. I'll put the image up there.
But besides those, so those, that wraps the pre-orders. The bigger news, which came out maybe half an hour after they announced the pre-orders for next week, the Ultramarines for Warhammer 40k are getting somewhat of a refresh to the great joy of the general community.
Yeah, wait. Joy of, so, all right. So, to joy of you as well.
No, I'm a big, just for people who don't know me, I'm a big Ultramarines fan, just because I like the color blue. So I'm always happy when they get new units, and I know the general Warhammer community is not too happy when they get units, because they're the poster boys. I get it, and there's a lot of books and all that. But they are refreshing, for some odd reason, Marnius Kalgar, the chapter master of the Ultramarines. He's going back into Terminator armor, away from his Gravis armor that everyone has written off and cried about over the last 7 years. It's weird because his last refresh, when he got the Gravis armor, was, I think, 2018. So they usually wait a lot longer for a refresh, and it doesn't even look that bad, but I don't know. Maybe it's to match the game.
Yeah, I'm seeing the image with the two power fists.
Yeah, well, that's his thing. He always has the two power fists. He still does, and now he has the bolters. He's kind of in a firing position from that scene that you haven't seen yet in the game. Spoilers alert.
Oh, yeah.
But he's reminiscent of his Terminator. I think it's the previous model before the Gravis Armor one. He's just facing a different direction. Besides Khalgar, we're also finally getting the Primaris Kato Sicarius, which everyone loves. It is Kato Sicarius. And he's a pretty cool model. He's holding his Victrix helmet, nice banner, power sword, super detailed armor. He has, I don't even know what any of this stuff is on him, but it's been long enough since we got a new model, since they discontinued the resin one.
Ooh, yeah.
9th edition? Maybe 10th edition? I don't remember now.
Kato Sicarius is actually one of the first characters I ever was introduced to, because before I did anything with Warhammer, I got the Warhammer 40,000 Conquest card game, which was a Fantasy Flight Games living card game that was relatively short-lived because they had to discontinue it when Games Workshop took their license away. They took our licenses away. And Fantasy Flight Games couldn't make Warhammer games anymore. But that was the Space Marine's first hero, actually. It was a game where you have one hero for every deck that you built.
Oh, his my first introduction to him was the text-to-Texas speech videos that they had for Warhammer. And he just runs around like, it is I, Kato Sicarius. And because he's just does everything.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to send you a link, or maybe we can post it somewhere. But it's quite an interesting listen.
Yeah. Well, I'll refer to that. I'm not familiar with that yet, but I'll let you know what I'm quoting too with the they took our licenses away.
Yeah. But to wrap up the Ultramarine refresh, we're also getting, of course, a new squad of Victrix Honor Guard, which are the guys with like the wings on their faces. And they're finally not hunched over, not tiny dwarves anymore. They're full sized, I'm assuming Primaris Marines. And a cool part of the squad is that, so now it's a squad of three instead of two. And in the box, you can also substitute, because there's a ton of parts apparently. Two of them, one you can turn into the chapter champion, the guy with the dual swords, and then the other one can be turned into the chapter ancient. And it has quite a banner. I think they're saying it's the biggest banner, maybe, that Space Marines have, and it's ridiculously detailed.
Yeah, that the Ultramarine on the banner is almost the size of an Ultramarine. Actually, probably is the size of a Firstborn.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'm going to paint that. But I'm going to buy it anyways, because that's that's how I do Warhammer.
Yeah, man, I can't get over the wing faces.
Yeah, they could be better. I mean, I like the cape that's draped over one pauldron. You know, I like the detail that they have with the little lightning bolts and stuff. But the helmets, I don't know. Maybe they'll grow on me. I got to paint like a dozen of them or something.
It looks like a monster for one of the games we're going to be talking about in the board game hotness.
But since I've kind of monopolized the time on Warhammer, just to wrap up the miniature section of this podcast, for anyone who's not interested in Warhammer, Star Wars Legion, they're also refreshing their kits, I guess. They're going to a hard plastic now, kind of similar to Warhammer, instead of the soft plastic that's kind of disliked by a lot of people. And their refreshed starter kits for Rebellion and the Empire are coming out on September 19th, which is this Friday, or last Friday, depending on when you post this. Some Friday, September 19th.
It'll be this Friday. Hopefully when you're listening to it, it's this Friday. So hold on, which plastic are they using? I got that confused.
It's like a heart. So I'm not familiar with Legion as much, but from what I've gathered on Reddit, it's like they're going to a harder plastic, which is the Warhammer plastic, right? Where you can use plastic glue and all that stuff. And originally they had a softer plastic that you can only super glue, because plastic glue would just destroy it.
Right. Okay. Well, I would think that's an improvement.
But yeah, that kind of wraps the major miniature news.
We'll transition now here to board gaming. So in the unaired pilot that we recorded, we had board gaming split up into board game hotness and crowdfunding campaigns, and we're just going to mash them all together here. So today we're going to talk about a few games here. First of all, for those of you that do like to frequent Board Game Geek, they have a section of the website called The Hotness.
Oh, hot, 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 hot,
about ranking which board games are getting talked about the most. And the number one game right now for Board Game Geek hotness is The Old King's Crown. And this is a game where it was originally a 2023 Kickstarter. It's actually, it's a new Game Found campaign. And this is a game that's completely off my radar. It's by the designer. Who is the designer?
Is that Pablo Clark?
Pablo Clark, who's only designed this game. And somehow this game is also highly rated and looks like it's a heavier game. It's a game where a kingdom is collapsing and people are dividing up the spoils. It really isn't a game that I've heard. The first edition of the game, or the first printing of it, didn't get a ton of conversation on top games lists necessarily. But we'll see as it must. I don't think the Kickstarter was huge, so I don't think a lot of people have this game. So it'll be interesting to see if the now Game Found campaign for the second printing, which is going to have some expansions with it, kicks the game off a bit more. We talked a little bit last week about Container. So Container is up to number two in the Board Game Geek hotness. That game looks like we're going to be able to order in 2026. It's a closed economic game where everyone has container ships and you're on an island. So that's a game I'm excited for because a lot of people swear by this game and they're apparently making a version of it that doesn't have as large of container ships, which has been a problem with different editions of the game.
So they're launching the Kickstarter for that soon, I think, right?
A couple weeks. I have to check on the actual timing of that, but that one is something that I think we can reliably say is a high quality game. I don't think they're going to be doing anything crazy with, you know, like, here's your container ship miniatures. But yeah, you also have on the hotness, we have a couple games that have been on there for a while. You have The Fate of the Fellowship, which is the cooperative, Matt Leacock cooperative Lord of the Rings themed game. And because it's a Matt Leacock game, it's somewhat based on the Pandemic system that is still on my games to play list. I have not played that one yet, but it is probably next, as far as games that I have in my possession to get played. And then we also have Vantage, which Vantage is a game that I wasn't planning to talk about too much, but it has been on hotness for a while. It's climbing up the Board Game Geek Talk 1000. Maybe we have a boring week. I'll focus on it and explain a little bit what that is for people that don't know what Vantage is. But it's a very innovative game mechanic where you have, as I understand it, cards that are different vantage points looking throughout a world. So it's a completely new thing. I don't think any game has done something like that before. A few other games worth mentioning here. Star Wars Battle of Hoth is climbing up the hotness a bit. So this game is going to be a re-implementation of the Modern Command and Colors game type. So this is a re-implementation of games like Memoir 44, Battle Lore, Battles of Westeros, Battle Cry. And the way it works is it's a two-player skirmish style game. And you will draw cards on your turn that'll have what moves you can make. So for example, you could say move one unit in the middle of the board, one on the right and one on the left. You might have one that says move three on the right. And you might have one that says three on the left. And maybe there's a certain move you want to make, but you don't have the card to allow yourself to do it. So it adds a little bit of a chaos to this 1v1 skirmish. And these games are usually with miniatures as well.
Ooh.
I don't know. Have you ever played a game of that system? I imagine if it's... I don't think any of the major miniature games have ever tried to do something like that.
I have not, but I did see that it just launched maybe 2 weeks ago, or at least a lot of the game stores around me have gotten boxes in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the Battle Lore Second Edition was a game that I eventually got. I didn't get all the expansions for it, but it was a game that was getting canceled right when I was starting to spend a lot of money on board games, and I passed on the chance to like buy all the expansions for 80% off and then regretted it because when I finally played the game, I loved it. And it's too bad they didn't have more for it. But I do also have Memoir 44, which is the original. Well, it's not really the original. If you want to go to the original of this system, you have to go like into the 90s. Potentially into games like Commands and Colors Ancients and Command and Colors Napoleonics and get almost into the war game side of the board gaming hobby. But hopefully, if it's good, you know, I'm not a huge Star Wars guy, but if it's the best implementation of the system, I'm more than happy to buy into that. But that one's not expiring yet. The the games we have to decide on now, that assuming that we get this episode posted on Monday, September 15th, the games that you have to decide now if you want to get in the Kickstarter window are Ark Nova 3 Edition and Blood Rage Valhalla. Ark Nova 3 Edition is the 3D version of Ark Nova. And Ark Nova is like the number 3 game on Board Game Geek right now, where you're managing a zoo. Have you seen the 3D Catan in stores before?
I have, yeah. Maybe that's not like the best thing to jog my memory. I wasn't a huge fan of the 3D Catan.
Yeah, I think Ark Nova 3 Dish, it looks to me just like the 3D Catan version of Ark Nova. So,
You got me curious on the zoo part. What kind of zoo are we, like a Jurassic Park zoo or a Zoo Tycoon kind of zoo?
More Zoo Tycoon. It's Ark Nova is, and maybe we can get this played at some point, but it's more actual earthly modern zoo management game. But yeah, number 3 game on Board Game Geek all time. So very well designed game. A little bit on the, it's not a heavy game, but midweight, I guess you could say. It's not like super quick by any stretch. But that's one game that you have to decide whether or not to get. So, and I think that just comes down to whether or not you want big 3D Ark Nova, which, you know, I don't know anyone that actually bought the 3D version of Catan. I know some people that were interested in doing it. I don't know anyone actually pulled the trigger. So I think that just comes down to whether or not you really, really like Ark Nova. But the more dramatic or more controversial game on the list is Blood Rage Valhalla. And I'm going to explain a little bit about this to wrap up the board game section. So Blood Rage was released in 2015. Blood Rage is arguably one of the best modern board games. And because it came out in 2015, it was part of that initial wave of board games when Kickstarter started becoming a thing and people were really coming into the hobby and discovering how good board games could be. 2015 is like kind of the beginning of the golden age of board gaming. Games like Scythe came out in 2016. Games like, I guess, Time Stories was a big driver to it. Blood Rage was one of the biggest drivers to the beginning of board gaming's modern golden age. It's a game where it's a card game with miniatures. The miniatures are also very high quality. They come pre-assembled. A lot of people love the Blood Rage miniatures, and it's a good game. I haven't had an amazing game of it myself, but it's a good game. It's Viking themed. And Blood Rage Valhalla is now has maybe 2 days left in its GameFound campaign. Blood Rage Valhalla is meant to be the sequel to Blood Rage, but a few things are going on with it. First of all, Tycoon Games bought the Blood Rage license from CMON, or Cool Mini or Not. Cool Mini or Not is the old publisher. They make games with miniatures. They have been dealing with, I think, financial troubles for the past year or so. So Tycoon Games, which is apparently a small publisher in New Hampshire, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they bought the Blood Rage property and they made the Blood Rage Valhalla Kickstarter. If I should say GameFound campaign. Kickstarter became synonymous with this, so if I say that, that's what I mean.
It's like Googling something.
Right. They have such a good name for the website. I mentioned GameFound probably should have made an app a lot sooner. They didn't have an app for a while. If you look on Board Game Geek, as I try to pull it up here, Blood Rage Valhalla has a rating, despite not being released yet, of 3.4.
Ooh.
So we're looking at one of these where people are clearly review bombing the game. And maybe people could argue a little bit about, like, it's not really review bombing. It's the rating is what you want it to be. But, you know, given that almost nobody has played this game and it has a rating of 3.4. Wait,
so are they upset that CMON is going out of business or dying? Or are they upset about Tycoon Games? Because I've never heard of Tycoon Games before.
Yeah, so this is, it looks like it has 51 ratings of 1. So here's the thing. A lot of people didn't like the campaign. And what happened, I think, so here's the setting. Blood Rage took place, it was Ragnarok on the island of Yggdrasil. So an island is basically being sucked into the earth and you're fighting the last battle in Norse mythology. And you're basically trying to die and go to Valhalla. And that's like how you get points. Now, if you've ever played a game like Skyrim, where you go to their equivalent of Valhalla, it's basically just like a like a longhouse. Like it's a big hall, right? It's almost just like a place with a bunch of the slain heroes throughout history.
Right.
So the board in Blood Rage Valhalla looks like the board in Clue. It's just all over the place. It's like, oh, it was Loki with a hammer in the conservatory. It does not. It's one of the worst settings you could have probably come up with for the game to take place in, because they're actually now, instead of fighting on a sinking island volcano, they're just fighting in like rooms in a building. So people didn't like that. There were some videos where people didn't like the trailer and they thought it was a little bit underdone as far as video production is concerned. And the other thing people complain about is a lot of the miniatures, they say, don't look Norse enough, as in they don't look like Viking miniatures. They look like they took miniatures from Rising Sun, which is like a samurai theme game, and shoved them in here. So they don't appear to fit very well. And people have been very opinionated on the theming and immersive accuracy of games for a while. I think this created just a perfect storm where enough people were just upset with it that they gave it a really bad rating.
Well, it looks like they're so I just looked up the game found while you were talking, and okay, I see what you're talking about. It's not great. It looks like they're redoing it, though. Revised art to be announced somewhere.
I think they have to revise the board.
Yeah, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
So, I'm not a board game designer. I'm not, so I can't really critique too hard, but that looks awful.
I don't know what they were thinking. If they, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when people like they release a movie and there's someone, you wonder like, hey, did anyone in here ever actually, like they're talking about football. Like, did anyone actually here ever watch football? Like, what are they, where did, no one, they couldn't have like asked the camera guy if this was an accurate statement. I think there was some movie I heard, I didn't see it, but like in Silver Linings Playbook, Robert De Niro is on the call with someone. He's apparently this big Eagles fan. He's like, the Eagles almost, they're going to make the division, which isn't something that happens in football. It's like, no one corrected them. This is one where I wonder in Tycoon Games, no one was like, hey, this board sucks.
Hope for it, a lot of these Kickstarter game found campaigns, they usually get the miniatures look really cool, the board to look really cool, the trailer looks great, and then the game is terrible because they didn't flesh out any of the rules. So maybe they worked on the rules first, and it's going to be like a great playing game on a terrible board.
Honestly, I'd just be
coping pretty hard.
I think that's possible. It, from what I've seen of the actual game, it seems like an interesting twist, almost like it was refined. And also they retained the original designer, Eric Lang, who's a pretty prolific board game designer. So hopefully the game itself is fine, and if they just fix these little things, it'll be a great addition to the game. I don't think it's one where I would get in the Kickstarter, though. I wouldn't want to spend a lot of money on Kickstarter if the revised art was going to come later. But
actually, yeah, that is weird. It's ending soon, but they haven't revised it yet.
It's almost right. You think you'd want to change the campaign somehow. But I'd say that's probably the cap for this week of the hotness, because that's wrapping up. We'll see if that gets relaunched. But now that we've gone through all the hotness, the board game table is cooled off, it's time to talk about our, I guess, bank accounts more. What's going on in the world of TCGs?
TCG news. Oh, man. It's always hard to talk about TCG news because I feel like these sets are announced and then all the big hype and stuff happens and then the game itself launches a year later. But apparently, September 26th is a big day for the TCG world. Pokemon's coming out with their Mega Evolution set, which looks pretty cool. Some of the cards look really cool. It's sold out everywhere, so I guess I'm never going to see it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Online, it looks really cool on my computer screen. I don't know too much about whether it's good or not. I know Mega Evolutions in general were pretty controversial. Same thing with the Gigantamax, where it's temporary. But that's just for the game. The video game. I'm not sure how the cards work.
I'm trying to think of the right metaphor for what it's like with it. It's like, yeah, this looks nice. It's like we're recording this podcast from an island in the middle of the Pacific, and like we can't, like shipping's like $500 to get anything here. So I'd be like, no, that looks nice.
Yeah, I don't know. That I played a little bit I collected a little bit when I was a kid, and it's just one of those things. I don't know how we're ever going to get into it. I was reading some article about how the Pokemon cards were like the one surefire investment that like the authors made in the last decade or something like that, which is insane.
Yeah, and plus, I don't think the game I think was originally a Wizards of the Coast game that was meant to just be an intro to Magic.
Right.
It's not that deep of a game. I think it really just it's more about the collecting. I know people play it too, but there are people that I think just need something to sink their teeth into, and if that's the game that they slightly prefer to other games, that's what they go with. Because every time, like, I had a pretty big thirst. Like, I was a Gen 1-er. So I liked Pokemon when it first started. I got a lot of the cards in the first couple sets. I maybe got to play the game once in my formative years. So I always kind of wanted to play it again. And every time I played it since then, it's just been unsatisfying mechanically. Like, I have fun exposing my kids to it, and they're getting to the age where they can actually play it and have fun deck building. But I never found it intrinsically interesting. It was more just like happy to get the cards played and get the game played for the sake of playing it.
Right.
So,
but yeah, but also on the 26th for Magic now, the Marvel Spider-Man set that I talked about last week, yeah, is also launching. It's sold out on Amazon, but there's a lot of game stores near me that are still putting up pre-orders. They're saying, you know, you let us know if you want any. We still have some. We can allocate to you and all that stuff. So it doesn't seem like it's gonna be as big as the Final Fantasy one or the Lord of the Rings one that came out, or the Warhammer one, to be fair. But if you're interested in Spider-Man or Marvel, you might be able to get your hands on some cards.
It honestly seems like at this point, they've, like we were saying on the unreleased episode last week, that there are so many of these sets that unless it's your absolute favorite property or like one of your top three IPs, that you can probably pass.
Yeah, I don't know. I played Magic a little bit, and not to drag this on too much, but I played Magic a little bit, like way back when, maybe 20 years ago now. But they have like an established lore, you know, with the planeswalkers and the different planes and all that stuff, and it's cool, and they built like this whole world, and now suddenly Spider-Man comes in, and then like next month I think at the Last Airbender's coming in. It's like what is happening?
Yeah, there's a Patton Oswalt bit in a show from not too long ago where he talks about how like every universe collides, and it's this awesome idea in theory, and it's maybe it's not.
Maybe yeah, living it. It's weird though, because the lore itself is already universes colliding, and now you're having like other universe, like non-themed universe. I don't know. It's a whole thing. I have a soapbox now. So hopping off of that soapbox. Also on the 26th, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is having their next game expansion, I guess. I don't really know too much about Yu-Gi-Oh! Besides like the OG set that came out. But Doom of Dimensions is also launching on the 26th, but pre-orders are still readily available as far as I can see, thankfully. So we can kind of change that flavor up a little bit.
We have some expert Yu-Gi-Oh! Experts we might need to get on the show that may or may not have attempted Jakari at some point.
we're gonna drag him out eventually. We'll find something.
but
to kind of wrap up the TCG news, the Digimon card game, which I have played a little bit, it's easy to learn. It's pretty fun. They're getting their, I don't know what kind of expansions is, maybe like an expansion booster, but EX10 is coming on the 19th, which is also this week, and those pre-orders are also not sold out yet. You can actually get a pretty good discount on them. The MSRP for the packs is like $5, but you can get a booster box. I think it's 24 packs for like $80. So it's a pretty good discount if you like Digimon and like the new set.
Yeah, it is daunting to go through that the TCG section all the time, because we've already talked about Warhammer.
It's also all the stuff. It's like, oh yeah, here's what's coming out. Oh, by the way, it sold out in like 2022 when they announced it. So sorry, guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess on the topic of teases, let's talk a little bit about conventions.
Incoming convention.
Because we have, I want to talk about this because, one, conventions are fun too. It's if you don't get to go, it's at least fun to talk about possibly going. So I've built out list of what I think are some of the biggest conventions that would be of interest, at least to us, but hopefully to our listeners too. So if we talk about the rest of the year, Sorry about if you hear any wooden chair creaking. I've actually relocated myself away out of the basement today, partially to avoid Jackson War Boiler, Jackson Boilfield, my boiler clicking on in the basement. But
well, you couldn't afford him as a guest star this week? Come on.
No. Well, you couldn't. Just felt bad about not being able to afford any of the Pokemon sets. But back to what I was talking about, though. So in October, we have two conventions that are potentially interesting here. You have the small one that I want to mention here. This isn't a big convention, but it's a Lord of the Rings card game specific convention that happens every year. It's called Con of the Rings, and it's up in Minnesota near the Fantasy Flight headquarters. And I want to mention this one because I also had one of the main podcasters based around the Lord of the Rings card game actually asked me if I was going to attend after I made my big retrospective on the card game. I do not plan to go to Minnesota next month. Would be fun, but that's too much of a challenge. But maybe one year, who knows? But that's going on this month. So if anyone's near Minnesota and likes Lord of the Rings a card game, try to go to that. If they still have tickets, I don't know if they still have tickets. It might be way too late for that. So good to see, hopefully, a vlog on that convention, I guess. The other convention for October is at Essen Spiel. I think it's Spiel because it's in Essen, Germany, and it's German. So this is like the original Germany board game convention, because a lot of modern board games, you know, the modern board game movement kind of started in Germany in the 80s or in the 90s as they were building out non-war games. And I think this has been going on since then. So Essen's a thing that a lot of prominent figures in the board game industry will go to. I'm assuming that that's, you know, wouldn't happen to be in Germany this next month. I'm not either.
Unfortunately,
those are on the radar. PAX Unplugged is on the radar for November. We'll talk about that as it gets closer. As residents of the Northeast, that one's a higher chance of getting attendance. And then we're into the 2026 calendar. We just missed Dice Tower Retreat down in Florida, which is where the Dice Tower employees and I guess a bunch of people who buy tickets. I don't know how many tickets they have for this, because when the people say retreat, I imagine like a church youth group thing of like 20 people. But I guess that's how they play a bunch of games over the course of 5 days near where their Dice Tower headquarters is. Dice Tower being one of the biggest board game reviewing websites and I guess media companies. But that's it for conventions. So let's wrap things up here. So WDYP.
WDYP
is the next time. So what did you paint / what did you play this week?
Well, I worked, as far as painting, I worked on some more Necrons. Again, continuing my shame from last week. I'll get that video out someday. I'm working on the, I got to pronounce stuff again. The Nihilak Dynasty. And it's...
Usually we say Nihilak, but yeah.
The guys with the stripes. And I don't know. I probably shouldn't have done them first because I've painted most of the model and I'm sitting there debating on whether I want to paint the stripe and completely screw it up or I don't know. But that's what I have worked on and will be working on. And I also played, what was that trick taking? Fate of the Fellowship trick taking card game. It had like a long name to it.
Yeah, it does. It's the Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Ring trick taking game. Not to be confused with Fate of the Fellowship.
Oh, whoops. Yeah. It has the word fellowship. I got half of it. Well, I got a quarter of that, right?
Yeah. Also cooperative.
But I played a chapter of that. It felt like I played the whole game because we did, with that one chapter, it took quite a few tries. So, you know, I got some good exposure to the game. I at least that's what I'm going to claim.
Yeah. Well, and so full disclosure. So we played this. We played a 4-player game together with our significant others. We played with the wives. So I think we actually technically beat 2 chapters. It just the second chapter took us like 6 tries. What do you think about that? Because the trick-taking cooperation is a big... Wow, sorry. My chair is going nuts. What did you think about that as a cooperative game?
You know, I liked it. It's... You hear a trick-taking game, and then it's kind of like... I don't know. The only other experience I have is like Crazy Eights. It's like, oh, okay, it's kind of an older game and all that stuff. But they had the goals you had to try and meet and then some cooperation. And we didn't really want to talk about it and tell each... You know, we didn't want to... What was that, quarterback the game and try and tell each other what to do, but then we also had to try and coordinate. It got really interesting. There's a lot of dialogue back and forth. There's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of up and down moments where you realize that you have the one card that you could win, and then you couldn't take the trick, and then everything collapses, and it was quite a roller coaster, and I did really like it.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's something very different about trick-taking cooperation than most board game cooperation. And right, because you're not supposed to reveal the cards to each other. You can't really quarterback the way that you can in other games. I guess it's possible if someone got really good at it, but I've found that that's a fun way to play a cooperative, or it's a very fun cooperative board game genre. I wish they could have come up with a shorter name, though. I agree with that.
Yeah, it's these Lord of the Rings things. I mean, Middle Earth strategy battle game. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. You know why they go with Lord of the Rings for everything, too, is so everyone at least knows what that is immediately.
So what did you paint/play this week?
Yeah, so as was evidenced in my video on YouTube this week, I painted actually I haven't painted too many Heroescape figures in my career, but I painted the Thraxis Dragoon promo figure for Heroescape, and it was a very simple paint scheme. Painting Heroescape figures feels a lot different than painting Warhammer and some of the other miniatures, because it's a little bit different. You're dealing with a different, chunk of marble here, because it's, it comes kind of with like a wash, and the detail in the miniature isn't at the same level, but at the same time, you can kind of get it done faster. So I enjoyed it. I have to figure out how to film that better, but if anyone wants to see how to paint basically up to Heroescape pre-painted standard, maybe a little bit above that, check out my video, because I think I was able to get, 20% better in under 2 hours. So that got painted. And then as far as played, so I'll mention then just what we had as our appetizer game to playing Lord of the Rings, the card game, trick-taking game, which was Oneirin, which is better known as a solo game than a cooperative game. And this is a game that I think I should have a short here, because I picked it up recently. This is a game that I used to play the app of for a long time. I played the app without having played the physical version. I had heard that even though a lot of people loved it as a solo game, outside of Lord of the Rings, the card game, I really don't play that many solo games. And I heard there's a lot of shuffling. And if you play in the app, you just click the shuffle button. So it's very easy to just play in the app. And a couple years went by, and I found that now I was in a game store, and sometimes when I'm in stores, I'm just like, this is a great store. I have a lot of fun with, retail therapy at hobby and game stores. And I wanted to support them. Wanted to be able to buy it, I guess. I don't know. So I bought it, and then I went to go reinstall the app to reteach myself how to play, because it had been a few years and the app's not available anymore. So if you want to play Oneirin, you got to buy the game. Although I realize nothing I've said now actually explains the game, but I'll just say it's it's a game loosely themed on nightmares, and you're trying to play. It's like you have four suits and you're trying to play cards where you're trying to, I don't even know how to describe it without trying to explain the whole game. I'm trying to do it concisely. I'm
trying to leave room for your short. Yeah,
right. Exactly. You're playing cards. You have to choose on your turn whether you want to play cards into a labyrinth, which is where you have to match a certain pattern of cards, or discard a card if you can't match the pattern. And you're trying to unlock doors. You unlock doors either through getting a pattern or through having these special key cards, which are powerful. And then if you draw a door out of the deck and you have a key that matches, you unlock it. If you hit a certain pattern in the labyrinth of a certain color, you get to pull that door out of the deck. And you're trying to get all the doors. And your adversary are nightmares. And when you draw a nightmare card, you have to sacrifice one of your keys for it, or basically just have to discard a bunch of stuff. And it's really bad. So there's that balance between how much can I get done with the labyrinth without using keys, and thus I can use keys for nightmares, versus how much do I need the keys because my labyrinth is all foobar. and we're going to lose anyway if we don't try to open the doors that way. So that's how it works. I thought it was a very good, actually pretty good two-player game, because I never played a two-player before.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When we first started, you were explaining me the rules. I'm looking at the cards. I'm like, okay, you know, this will be something we play for 5 minutes. I'll get bored and then we'll play something else. But the stakes really ramp up quickly. It kind of reminds me of Pandemic. You know how you start and you're just like, okay, I'll clear one or two cubes. I'll keep going. And then, you know, you're kind of piddling along. And then suddenly you draw a couple of, start a couple of outbreaks. And things really just cascade badly. And that's kind of what it reminded me of. You know, like, okay, whatever, we'll sacrifice a key. Who cares? Uh-oh, that was our last key. Now how are we going to do this? And it ramped up really quick. And I had a lot of fun with it. Definitely one that I play again.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the feeling during the game was a lot of, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Wait, we can actually win.
And then we lose.
Oh, crap, yeah. So, all right. So I think that's probably good for this week. So thanks everyone for listening. I will be doing this podcast weekly, covering the news and all the different corners of the tabletop gaming world. A reminder to check out Jackson's Warfield on YouTube, Instagram, and check out Final Gaming on, what are all the places you are? Again, you're in a lot of places.
Let's see. Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, kind of Threads and TikTok, but I don't know. Just some kind of social media. Search it up and you'll find it.
That's Final, FYNL. Again, it used to be, you know, not quite perfectly translated. So, yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone. Until next time. We still don't have a catchphrase to end it, so I guess I'll just play the music.